Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Generous One, A Transcendent Course of Change. Today is Lesson 1, Setting the Stage. I'm Penelope Polly.
I'm Diane Polly.
Oh, no.
I'm David Edmund.
Yay.
And Dad, you're somehow muted.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm dumb boy. That's why I couldn't talk.
Well, this is getting off to a very professional start, feeling really confident about all that. Great.
But he was in communication with the generous one.
Okay, so what we're going to try, you're awesome, Guy Lanavalle. You're very experienced here. You guys have both muted. Everybody, let's go in mute mode just so we don't have extra sound in the background.
No, I'm doing it right here.
Oh, you're doing it. Oh, okay.
And
then, you know, we'll talk on our soapbox, and then we'll unmute you all and let you ask questions. So today we wanted to start off by just talking about why this is going on, why Tom's doing this, why he's taken this helm, and what's going on in his brain to make this get going, to start this whole new wonderful adventure. So I know that everybody has read the book, the first three chapters, and read a little bit about what happened. But Tom, what was going through your head? Why are you doing this?
Are we going to start with a getting us together with David?
Yes, we were.
Sure.
This is the most unprofessional beginning I've ever had. Okay.
Meditative pause.
Yeah, Penn, we're going to start with David.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Let me, you mind if I stop this recording and start over?
Let's do that. Hi, and welcome to The Generous One, A Transcendent Course of Change. Today is Lesson 1, Setting the Stage.
I'm Tom Polly.
I'm Penelope Polly.
And we have with us David and Dave. Say hi.
Hello there.
And we have Diane.
Hi, Diane here.
Okay.
So the way that we want to structure these calls is in the opening we would like to actually do preparation, do a little bit of energetic preparation for our call together and call in some of the energy that we want to focus on. So Dave, take it away.
Very good. Thank you. There are many ways which people use in order to focus their attention, especially when we desire to access higher vibration, higher intention, that kind of thing. In the ancient languages, the word for prayer means to set the mind like a trap to catch the thoughts of God. Albert Einstein once said that none of his discoveries ever came by logic, but they all came by intuition. They all came from the heart area. So with that in mind, let's just become quiet within ourselves. You may even want to close your eyes for a few moments and take a deep breath and just exhale slowly and allow your awareness to go into your heart. The heart. All of your thoughts now go into that area of your body where you are sensing and feeling, and you have a gentle kind of awareness. And you open like an envelope, like a door, like a window, and allow the breezes to gently float in. And in your mind, you observe yourself, your feelings, and even some of your thoughts regarding taking this class, what it may mean to you. You know, something of the subject matter. And yet, in Tom's case, it all came as a surprise, an unfolding, something that was altogether not comfortable. So we bring ourselves and everything that we are, everything that we think, all of our experience, all of our awarenesses to this place. And if we could package it, we would set it upon a rock and just let it sit there during this class so that we can be free to listen in the heart, free to allow new thoughts to enter, inspired thoughts to enter. So now, in an attitude and spirit of gratefulness, we open ourselves, heart and mind, to this experience. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. You know, I think we need to start off. I probably need to make a statement of some kind. You may have already gotten the impression by reading the first lesson that I had no desire to write this course. I avoided it for, 4 years. I bent over backwards to do anything I could think of doing other than write this course. At the time, I didn't know why, but as I started writing it, it just was so difficult for me. I had to remember things I did not want to remember. Remembering, I could say that all this stuff came to me, and all was revealed, and oh my gosh, all the good advertising jargon I could use, but the fact is, it was more like remembering. Once I remembered, I knew it. I knew it all along, but I couldn't. It's so strange. It wasn't there, but then I remembered it. It was there. Now, anyway, the first thing we're talking about, obviously, is death. It's kind of a taboo subject. I love to spend my time talking about making money. I love to make money. I love to sell it and spend it. I love to get rich. I want to get richer. I want other people to get richer. But dying. Who the heck wants to talk about dying? And yet that's what we do. Somebody jump in here and help me.
I think you're doing great.
Yeah.
I think there's what we all have to remember is that, you know, as we talked about for years, everything that happens in our lives is signage, direction, understanding. And I think even this idea that you have to start with death is almost, it's freeing, because with death there's you're not beholden to anyone, you don't have to be anyone, you can then be whoever you are. You can start fresh. You can reboot. You can be reborn. And that's a powerful concept for humans. The idea of rebirth, the idea of saying, you know what, this is working, this isn't working, let's start anew. Because I think so many of us in this realm of personal transformation and wanting wonderful, improved things for ourselves and our world, it's easy to get bogged down with who you think you should be or how you think you should be. And only through a death or rebirth can we allow our souls to start fresh. So take the beginning of this as a renewal in finding your way. And many of us have been on these paths for years and years. And maybe it's okay to say, I'm going to just quiet my drive for perfection and drive to be this thing that this person I think I should be, or this bringer of light I think I should be, and just allow whatever is coming through to come through. Because I think that was the biggest thing that I saw in you, Dad, that, sorry, Tom, that was you were having such a hard time with, was not whether or not you had the information, could access the information, but it was this sort of difficulty in saying, but this is who I am. I'm this other person. How can I now feel like I'm a new person? And I think that's part of this process for you, is going, here I am now. I was there for a long time.
There are a lot of processes you can go through. A lot. And that is definitely one. I think everybody goes through these processes at one time or another. And I have to tell you, I woke up this morning thinking about something. I've been relatively adventurous and kind of brave going into situations I didn't know the outcome and make my way through. But back of my mind has always been fear of death. What in heaven's name was going to happen to me? You know, growing up I had plenty of other people tell me I was going to go to hell for the way I lived, and especially from Nebraska, my goodness. If you don't follow the standards of the community in which you live, you're an outcast. No, not completely, but I think you know what I mean. And I was that way. And man, just even thinking about it. One thing that's big, and I want to mention, I thought about this morning, was I don't fear death. I'm not hurrying towards it, but after all this experience, I'm not afraid to die. I mean, I've already died. I've come back. I've been there. Believe me, it's nicer than here. It had to be compelling reasons to be here. And once I have those, who can walk away? Anyway.
Well, that's another big theme of this, is choice. And we always have choice. And we've heard for years that we have choice. But I think that for me, hearing about your experience really helped me understand what choice is about. That it isn't just, well, I think I'll take the chicken over the beef, thank you. It's about weighing those compelling reasons, because everything that you guys will find in his experience was, this isn't a place you necessarily want to leave, that other side. There's got to be a big, powerful reason why.
Oh, definitely.
And a big, powerful job that draws you in. So I know there's a couple things we want to chat about, but one of the concepts I really, really think we should talk about in a little more depth is this idea of scarcity consciousness and what this course, how it helps to combat it and why we care about it.
I agree with you, but before that, Damon, what comments do you have on the death thing? I mean, kind of a bummer way to start a big seminar on talking about death, but what are you going to do?
Well, you know, the whole subject of death has been something that until recent years, and it still is for many people, a taboo subject. we wanted to stave it off. I remember being part of the AIDS crisis in Los Angeles, and many people would not attend memorial services because they did not want to even think of death in relationship to their friends. And this happens to a lot of people. We go to funerals and memorial services out of duty. We have done that. We haven't looked at it as a celebration, as something that is an opening door to something that's greater, because there was always this fear involved that unless you made the right choices, unless you related to the right deity, you might wind up in the place of fire instead of increasing glory. Over 9 million people, I believe officially counted, have experienced now what is called the near-death experience. And they have come back, usually, with the report of how great it is once the body is no longer the interface between them and what's real. But there is freedom. The great goal of nearly all of these people now is that what they experienced outside of the body in what is called the near-death experience is wonderful light, freedom, lack of pain, lack of fear, all of those negative emotions. There are some exceptions, but those are temporary exceptions. So there's a lot, a very great amount of wonderful new things that are being implanted into human consciousness because of the experience like that which Tom had. And that's what this course is about, is the exploration into that.
Yeah, good. The course is not about me. And not about my dying. I'm not going to go over that 100 times. This course is about you. It's about finding a side of you you have never experienced. A side of you that's there and waiting. A side of you that will increase all that you have a hundred million fold. There's really no way to put a figure on it. When you reach a point where your consciousness is greater than your desire to be mundane, when you want to expand yourself to the point where you know, you have an ancient knowing of that good will come, that everything will work out, that what you need, what you want are provided, you're free. Totally free. And you can only do that when you know who you are. And that's primarily what the course is about. Penelope, you were about to talk a while ago about scarcity consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick up the thread?
Well, I think there's a reason why we all need to elevate ourselves and to elevate all aspects of our life experience. And I think for many of us, for many years, it was about understanding how to elevate ourselves in terms of monetary growth, in terms of financial ways. Because that's, you know, just like in the first book, when we're teaching you how to write down, the first thing we say is write down about a car. It's very easy to describe. In fact, you can go to a car dealership and you can get one of those little pamphlets and just write down, I have all the list of the things in that car. It's a way to learn, right? It's making the shapes of the capital letters so that you can eventually learn how to do handwriting. It's those first steps. And I think that is been such preparation for all of us in terms of finding ways to elevate our thoughts, finding ways to elevate things in our experience, in our life, because the ultimate battle isn't with our own pocketbooks. And the ultimate battle isn't with our relationships. The ultimate battle isn't a personal one. It is a personal one, very highly personal one. But the effect, I think, that we've all been on the road, the change we've all been on the road to effect, the greater mission, as it were, of our experience here is really elevating our species, elevating our consciousness as and growing ourselves as a civilization. It's taking us to another level in terms of how we treat each other globally, how we treat the earth, how we support the expansion and elevation of our kind, far beyond whether or not I get the car that I want, far beyond whether or not I get the guy that I want, or the family that I want, or the new kitten that I want, which I got. It's about how do we, as humans, become more? How do we as humans help ourselves and our progeny and the generations after us to keep going, to be the high station of who we are meant to be?
You know, the biggest thing about it, when quantum marketing, I think most of you have taken quantum marketing, that last section, section 5, where we talk about the wider circle, the public universe. I couldn't imagine writing that at the time. I thought, oh my goodness, why do we care?
It kind of made sense, but we were like, well, I guess if you want to do charity work, that counts as public universe, right?
And we talked about that, but it was kind of like an elementary school introduction to the public universe. What we're finding is that what I found is that we have a greater responsibility than we ever imagined. We are all children. I don't care how old you are, how much money gets sucked in, but you are a kid. You're a child. If your consciousness remains unexpanded, you are just a child. You have no opportunity for the amazing things that can be done. And you are responsible. You have so many responsibilities. Only a mature, I keep wanting to say earthling, only a mature human being can really mature. The fullness of your maturation, can you find within you the power to change the world? And by changing the world, you secure your own. David, you found all those various sentences and words, many of them you wanted to mention. Have you got something that you want to talk about?
Yes. You talked about living on the edge. And this is to draw a frame of reference for each person who's listening. Because nothing happens outside of a context. The context of your life had to do with your interests, had to do with, the image that comes to my mind when I think of that is a smorgasbord, an endless smorgasbord. There's always something new to eat, always some new hunger, always something new to do. The mind never stops unfolding itself. And this is, as we move through life, for the most part, what we call the ego mind. So in your frame of reference, you said that you were living on the edge. That's how you conceived of yourself. And you always wanted more, and you went after the next thing. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, well, It didn't matter what kind of car I had to have a bigger one. It didn't matter where I lived, it had to be greener somewhere else. I mean, Penelope, how many schools you go to? It was 100 times.
12, between 12. Kinder and 12th grade, 12 schools.
Well, that's 1 a year. Hell, that's, most everybody knows that. But a
couple years it was 3 or 4.
Yeah, well, those were experimental years.
As opposed to the other years.
I was never satisfied, never fulfilled. When I was in Hobbs, New Mexico, running radio stations, I should have been, my hall cabin was creative. It was fun. Every day I go to work, it was just, God, it was just so much fun. And everywhere I went, everyone in the family, we were radio stars in a little town. But, man, that just wasn't enough. I had to do something else. I had to get this. And this restlessness, yearning to move forward. And never finding satisfaction. Never finding happiness. True happiness. I don't know where to go with that number. But
isn't that part of the human experience? Isn't that a natural part of who we are as humans? Is we crawl and then we want to walk and then we want to run and then we want to climb.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are searching in a direction that isn't ultimately the fulfillment that we really desire. And what we hope to help you see in this course is that really that true expansion, that going beyond what you want into the realm of what we all want.
But that goes back to the question, do you know why you're here?
Do you know why you're here, Dad?
If you're not an accident, it has to be a reason for your existence, right? Do you have a mission of life beyond making money and paying bills? Something you consider is worthwhile, worth doing. For me, that's 4 years has been producing this course, writing it, and then getting it online. In the meantime, my voice, I had another stroke. Oh, gosh, how fun. I'm the stroke guy. And it affected my voice severely. So for a year, I thought, I would never do this. I couldn't speak. I couldn't talk again. And the only thing I could do is to just believe in God and believe that this is all for my good and there was a benefit here somewhere. And know that I was safe and protected. And by doing that, I had a mission to fulfill. I was given a mission, and I had to fulfill it. And nothing else mattered. I didn't care whether hell or high water, I was going to finish writing this book. And I had no idea, none, what was in it. I like to write about things, people making money, you know that. I want to make you rich. I want you to be happy and go through life and live a vacation. But there's more. There's more. Beautiful more. A great more. Beyond all expectation. It extends out. I mean, when you, as we go through this course, you realize you are more than just part of a system. You're more than the inhabitant of the earth. You are part of the earth. You are an integral part of all creation, and that you, in fact, do create. And as the power to create, that's what lies in the heart. Because without your creativity, the universe does not expand. Without you, the universe does not expand. Oh, we can say, oh, we look in the sky and we can tell that the stars are moving farther apart. It is expanding. Well, how do we know that until we looked at them? Observation is part of the experiment. The fact is, I see it as a fact. Hopefully you'll come to understand it as a fact. Then every decision you make is part of the future. It helps lay the foundation. That's what we're doing right now. You know, have you ever thought, how would you explain your life? How would you describe your life if you had access to infinite abundance? Oh, I know. Everybody all over this, all over the world, all the preachers and the gurus are telling us, I used to say it, that you do have access to infinite abundance. Infinite abundance. And you do, as far as you understand infinite abundance. But what I'm saying is, there's more to understand. An expanding way. Oh my God, it makes it so rich. Everything is rich. Every opportunity you get is rich. Okay, I'm going to just talk on and on. David, you got anything to say about all that?
Oh, yes, to be sure. One of the things that seems to be true of, I was going to say all of us, but at least nearly all of us, is that in our earlier years, teenage years, 20s, 30s, into the 40s, we feel fairly invulnerable. We feel as though we have the world in hand, and we are feeling our powers. And if I could put a definition of this, for the most part, that's the mechanism of the survival of the ego. Until we begin to question that by things that happen along the way of life. We're full of testosterone or estrogen, and that informs everything we do. That informs how we believe things and how we handle things. We're either using force or we are learning to surrender to the power that is living us. So today we're setting the stage, Tom is setting the stage in this book for what happened to him when he had his death experience. And moving from the information that came out of his human desire system, his desires on the physical level, to all of a sudden beginning to perceive something greater than that, which has to do with his real self, with our real self, and we all have that. And that's the path that we're on. We are moving into the realm of healing. And healing is not an end in itself. Healing is really part of the path to wholeness. We can only find our wholeness when we have gone through stages of healing. I've talked to a number of healers over the years. One recently wrote that only 5% of healings that occur in his work were physical healings. 95% had to do with ordering the life, their lives, coming into order in their lives, learning to know what is really valuable and what isn't valuable. So when we move from ego to the real self, someone else has said that we are not physical beings that have a spiritual life at the end, but we are really spiritual beings encased or living through a physical body. We are spiritual beings living through a physical body. That is a discovery that we all make. And this course is about that process and the healing that takes place on that road. And we drop our fears as that process continues. And as you will discover as you move through this course, and maybe already are discovering in your own life, in your own way, that as this process goes on, we fear less and less, and there are more spiritual qualities that unfold, such as a degree of freedom that we haven't known before, such as a degree of wholeness and openness and peacefulness and happiness and joy that we haven't known before. We do this because we have transferred our ideas, our intention, our minds down to the heart. We are living out of a graciousness that exists at the heart level of our being rather than just with our mundane thoughts, with our ego thoughts.
Wow.
Oh, well, I've been talking and nobody been hearing me because I muted myself.
I don't think you're allowed to touch that anymore.
I tell you, you guys don't know what you missed. That was wonderful. I can't even know.
That's very good, Tom.
Well, I think Dave just called in that very dramatic pause to help everyone really hear what he had to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, does anybody have any comments on what their reactions were? Today's session has started.
No, I keep talking.
Are you unmuting? Because I was, and I get there and they've. I was unmuting everybody. Oh my goodness!
I told you I got this.
Okay, I'll stop touching that. The new person at the bottom, whom I don't know. Is that Sherry? Are you down there at the bottom? 1510?
No. That's Jill.
Oh, hi, Jill.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Hi, darling.
I would just share something with you, Tom. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah. You sound wonderful.
Good. I was just, before I got on the call, talking to my husband about this. I had a difficult set of interactions yesterday that I was with a group of people that I don't know very well, and I just kind of touched on a number of levels of discomfort that were really more about me than about anybody else, and as is often the case, left me totally confused. Like, I know something needs to be healed, but I don't know what. So this morning I just lay down and spend about an hour doing the Ho'oponopono, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Because I know whatever disruption occurred in the interaction, it was my stuff as much as anybody else's. And for my purposes, it was all my stuff. So I started thinking about your book. And I just wanted to share with you that it was a great source of comfort to me to put myself in my visualization, to put myself in the presence of the generous one, to have that beautiful description that you shared of your interaction, to, you know, as such a concrete point of reference that I was able to just envision myself in the presence of such total love and forgiveness while I was also trying to clear out my areas of brokenness. And this book has been such a gift to me. I want to support its getting out in the world so that so many people can participate in the healing that it's going to generate.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank
That's
you,
wonderful.
Jill. I just want to let anybody else that has a question, if you press *6 on your phone, it'll tell me here on the dashboard and I can put you through. If you're actually online, then you just click the Q&A button from the toolbar to the toolbar, and it'll let me know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. That's really cool, Jill. Thank you for sharing that.
I mean, for those of you who don't know, Jill has had them. All right, if I tell them this, Jill?
Oh, sure. Although it's not really relevant to what was going on yesterday. That was just my general screwed upness.
Well, yeah.
The humanity of who we all are, you mean?
That's it. My little slice of humanity.
Well, I think if we all remember that, like, if we watch preschoolers interact with one another, it's really not too much different than adults sometimes interacting with one another, which is why we all need this
Jill,
to be able to elevate ourselves.
Jill and her husband, Dempsey, have been dealing with some difficult health issues. He had diagnosed in December with stage 4 cancer of throat. I don't remember the text.
Yeah, in January.
January. And they went to, they live in Austin, but they went to Phoenix for months, doing treatments. Very difficult, and probably still is. And she is absolutely a shining star for me. How hard they've done dealt with all this and come through it. And he looks like he has a really excellent chance for complete survival. So, anyway, I don't know why you're right, probably had nothing to do with this course. Somebody save me. I don't know where I'm going.
Just living life, you know.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a question or comment, or just want to just share anything?
Well, then, the only thing we can do is just open everybody up and call on people. You're gonna be in class. You're gonna take class. Tell me why you keep undoing what I'm doing. Okay, everybody's open. Guyland, are you there? I see you there, Guyland. Are you going to talk to me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. It's kind of wind or something on the microphone. But what was your impression of the first lesson?
What is my first lesson?
What was your...
What's your impression? Do you have any comments? How do you feel?
I feel I don't know. I am at the correct stage in my life to receive what you're saying, because it's like this morning earlier, I was reading the chapter 1, and I feel that everything is like from a funnel which started very wide and funneling, and basically everything is starting to make sense and to apply it in my life, if you can understand that. Because until now, Tom, I've done all of your courses, I've read all of your books and many others from many other, and it has all been a learning. It has all been knowledge. But
yes.
I have done very little application of it in my life. Okay? So So this morning I was thinking about you and reading your chapter one, and I was thinking about Lester Levinson's book, which is explained the same thing, but from a much more esoteric level, let's put it this way, to understand. But it's exactly the same. And he said it, you know, four decades ago. But the way you present it, for you, it's like the time is ripe now to move from the theoretical knowledge to the application. And it's quite something. For me, I wish you can just sell the book as well, as well as do the course. You know?
I could what?
He hopes that you can sell the book as well as the course.
Because for me, I like to have the paper copy of it, Tom, because I'm still an old-fashioned guy. Yes, I read on the Kindle and everything, but this kind of book, okay, it's the pleasure to have it on paper, so it's on your nightstand. You get attracted to it by osmosis. You get attracted to it by all kind of stuff, but it gives you something more. You know?
Sylan, don't worry. I have all kinds of plans in my mind that he doesn't even know about yet.
Okay.
Right.
But thank you for saying it out loud.
But let me tell you one example. Lester wrote a book, I think it 40 years ago, and it's a very, very hard to come by. It took me 6 months of search on Amazon to find a copy. Okay? But I didn't want it in electronic format. I wanted the original paperback, which was published back in the 60s or something like that. So I want the same with your book. That's why I have your Rich Dream books on paper, and I have them in electronic format. Because there is energy, Tom, in a paper book.
Well, yeah, you're right.
This is great, because I think that, Guyland, I appreciate you commenting today, because he knows. We've put energy in paper books. We've written about putting energy in paper books, and I think it will definitely be part of the process. I think in order for us, for him, to fully understand the magnitude and importance, he had to do the course first.
Yes.
So okay. I think we'll get there.
Okay.
I prefer to think that everybody else has to do the course first. Not me.
Right, it's for them.
You know, I've read this book. What?
You are energy. What we are doing right now is just exchanging energy. You're going to get something out of it, and so am I, and so is Penelope, so is Diane, so is everybody on the call. It is, we don't exist. You have to be able to transcend that. We are just energy represented in a form at a point in time. Tomorrow we can be the same person with a different view, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, my accident gave me that impression. You know, made me that discovery even deeper. So that's my impression for today.
That was a good one. Valerie, how about you? What was your impression of the book? What are your comments? Casino Girl, what were your comments? Valerie? No comments? Okay. She didn't want to talk. Well, maybe she's off in the other room or something.
That's okay.
Yeah, of course. Everything's okay. Bob, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. What I really enjoyed about the book was how, well, it's your apparent hypocrisy that came through, which was that you were teaching all of this from a different perspective and you were living that, yet when these death experiences started happening, you immediately went back into, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to do this. It's almost like the imposter syndrome that people have. And I really enjoyed not enjoyed you dying, but enjoyed that you were able to come forward actually and start living your purpose because of it.
I didn't enjoy it that much either. I would rather not have it. Yeah. The thing is, I'm trying to remember.
Well, that's what makes him human, right? Like, I think that's what Guyland
exactly.
is saying. Is that's what makes it accessible. Is, yeah, I've read lots of books that are, oh, I had this amazing experience and all this amazing amazingness, and that's great. But also, I think we all need to hear when it's hard and when it's stupid and when we don't want to do it. And
exactly.
when it seems like a waste of our time and energy, or admitting I don't think I'm worth it, I think is so powerful. Because I think that this is a time, and especially this course, I think what you'll see is this really is about all of us finding our way to each other and finding a way to expand and elevate together. And we can't do that with the walls of perfection in between us, thinking yeah. that somebody else's grass is perfect and green when you don't realize it's fake grass. Right, we need to hear each other's struggles. We need to hear each other saying, this doesn't make any sense. We need to hear our own students tell us, oh, you're just energy. Yeah, we are. And it's important for us all to together remind each other, because that's how ultimately we grow together. You can do a lot of work personally on your own, and yes, we come in here alone, but we don't come in here alone to have a lonely experience. We come in here alone to learn how to connect. And then once we learn how to connect, it's really about learning how, as one, in togetherness, to expand and to elevate ourselves and our experience. So I think yeah. I love hearing that that's what touched you. That's what got your attention.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I resonate with the story because it's similar to mine, which is that I was born with a gift, and then because I was different and a little kid and didn't understand it, I wished it away, and it did. Mm-hmm. It went away.
You sure been our family, Bob.
Oh, I did the same thing, Bob. I wished them away too.
Yes, and then I got it back 40 years later, and I tried to wish it away again, and this time it's not going away, and it has made me have to change lots of things,
yes.
And I still am not doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm closer than I was, so I'm moving forward.
Then you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, because a little tiny step is still a step in that direction.
Yes.
And there's no need to feel like, even if you want to shut it off, right, that's okay.
Right. Yeah.
I think we forget, like especially in the personal development community, there is this pressure of perfection. Even though we all say the words, there's no such thing, there is a pressure to always have my perfect mindset and always be positive. And, you know, I had an experience about a year ago where I was in a really hard place in my life personally and going through some very difficult things. And I couldn't even articulate necessarily what it was. And I'm only noticing that like a year and a half later, looking back and saying, oh, wow, I was in a really rough place. But I had multiple friends that suddenly didn't want to be around me. They suddenly didn't want to hang out with me. And I took it so personally, and it was so hurtful. And I realize now, well, that's because I was always personal development perfection person. I was always the helper. I was always on. I was always giving the help and the advice and the positive spin. And at that time in my life, I was like, screw this. I feel like crap. I'm not going to personal spin your crap. You can do my crap. How about that? Right? And like some
right.
people were like stepped up that I never even realized would have stepped up and been that person that could help me through my stuff, because you can't go through life being one-way street. You can't do it. That's not
right.
what we're here to do. Right? We're here to work together. So I loved your email, by the way. I'm just fascinated by all that stuff. That
Thank you.
That was really cool. Thank you.
Bob, where do you live? Where
I live right out. I live outside of Chicago. I'm about 15 miles from Wisconsin.
Oh. Okay. It's nice to be able to place you in continental space. I don't know. But it was a great letter. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, when I read the title of the book, well, I've been reading your emails for the last year when you've been talking about writing it, and then when it finally came, I just thought, oh, this is so perfect. I have to let him know that I knew that this was your quality for several years now, and the fact that you named it The Generous One was just perfect.
Well, that's
I really... Yeah, I really I enjoyed that email, too. I apologize. I've forgotten what Guy told us about which number to press to sort of raise our hands.
Oh, it was number 6, but it's okay.
Well, just
my dad completely annihilated all my plans.
Go ahead, Jill. Just brush, push in, take over, like you always do.
I just wanted to say I love that letter, too, Bob. I really enjoyed it. And to me, working in the personal development field and, you know, being a writer and I notice that there is that pressure Penelope talks about is extreme, you know, because we are willing to write about things, then people somehow imagine that our lives are perfect. Right. And there are no perfect lives. And also, you know, there's a certain pressure that comes. There's a certain element of people who work in personal development who are drinking their own Kool-Aid, or at least they're feeling that they have to only display the positive aspects of their lives. And
right.
I think that's a disservice. One of the things I loved about the book, Tom, was your complete openness about going through your own process, about reevaluating what was important to you in your life, being willing to disclose that, being willing to say, this is where I was about money, and this is where I am now, and this is where I was about health, and this is where I am now, because that's the human journey. You know, the year I'm having is a year that other people will have another time, or other people have different kinds of challenges and will eat up a year. You know, this is just it. This is the process of life. And I think the accessibility that you provided in writing the book, and that I know, you know, having had some exposure to the course, the accessibility you're continuing to share, we're all on the same path, and we can be the most help to each other by being completely emotionally naked and revealing. Yeah, I think the more we can share who we are, the more we empower other people as well as ourselves. And also, we can let go of the burden of thinking that we're supposed to look like our lives are always working. That's not human life. That's not the intention behind human life. It's not why we came here. It's not the journey.
Right. And you know, we've always said you're here to grow and learn, but growing and learning oftentimes is not fun, pretty, or comfortable. So it's important to see all that stuff for each other.
Yeah. Does
anybody else have anything they'd like to share?
Diane?
Am I muted or unmuted?
You're unmuted now.
We're here, you know.
Okay. I think something that struck me, and it's, you know, been a struggle that I've always had in my life, is when you're naturally a giver and like that role, it's extremely hard to learn to receive. And I think that's what this experience, of course, has had to teach both of us. I had, for the first time that I can remember, a year ago, I was vulnerable. I had hip surgery and couldn't take care of me or my house or my cooking or anything. And sometimes it's something traumatic like that that we have to go through to accept the fact that our life has to be a balance between giving and receiving. I think if we're naturally, like I say, givers, it's difficult to be on the other end, on the receiving end. And I think that's what, you know, also what this book is about, learning how to receive and receive with grace and, of course, always gratefulness, which is what we always need to work with all the time. But we appreciate all of you so much and all your input. Anytime you have something to say, just send us a note. We'll be sure to have a chance to. But
we can make comments on the course, too. Down below there are comments. And, you know, say to anyone, Tom was really good, and we liked him a lot. I don't know about the other people.
The other people were okay, right?
Tom was much better than Cats. I'm going to see it again and again.
David,
yes.
Come on, give us a word of wisdom here. This opening show has not been our normal. We usually...
Wait, what? You mean you thought it was going to go one way and it went completely the other way?
Well, you guys are all mean about me, and I don't want to be about me. It's about someone else.
I was thinking of, I met this family, back in the late 90s in Irvine when I had my hypnotherapy practice at a medical center there. And there were three young children, I think two boys and a girl. And all of the children had been trained to be especially gifted. And one of the things that they could do was be blindfolded, and you put a newspaper 15 feet across the room and put their feet up and face the newspaper, and they would read the newspaper to us. Now, just think about that for a minute. Within every cell of our body, there is every other potential in the body, even the ability to see. And they could see across the room 15 feet. You couldn't even do that with your eyes open 15 feet away to read smaller headlines. And they could read across the room. When they got 6 or 7 years of age and they got in school, it became an unpopular thing to do. And so they shut it off. The youngest of the children was at his grandparents one day, and the grandmother had hurt her leg. And he just put his hands on her knee, and whatever was wrong, and I don't recall what it was anymore, but that corrected itself under the energy that he was putting out through his hands. My point being in telling this story is what Bob was saying a bit ago, is that in younger years, many people have had talents which they became aware of and abilities, and they expressed them, but then it became an unpopular thing to do. We're living in a different kind of day now. As we get older, those pressures of other young people to be kind of with the gang and with the group and become like that are lifted. And we're living in a time now when we can let these abilities unfold to a greater degree because humans' interests are changing. Not many people admitted to near-death experiences a number of years ago. It wasn't popular. I've been studying quite a number of books over the last couple of years on this subject, and then when Tom began to talk about his experience, it kind of fell into place. And the unique thing about Tom's book is that he is kind of sharing out of the experience of his own life and then the intervention of this experience. We have living through us this power and this presence, and we are beginning to explore what that is and let that be expressed. And we begin to find out that the universe supports us experientially, and we are overcoming our doubts. We are overcoming our desire to hide what our divinity is. And to me, that's a great advantage as we live our life. And we discover that we are loved in a way that we have not anticipated and not experienced before. And that love is without any qualifications. It is just there. It is an energy that operates through the universe and through and in us. And that kind of love means that we are able to explore. We are able to explore and say, this I want to be part of, this I'm going to put on the shelf for a while. There's no judgment about it. One of the wonderful things about what's happening now is that we are able to enter into this place of being able to explore and being able to express these unrecognized abilities and even beliefs that were not as prevalent a number of years ago. And that's one of the great gifts that comes through this book. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Does anyone else have any more comments? Penelope, Diane?
I'm excited to see where this goes, this course goes, because certainly it didn't go where we thought it was going to go today.
What?
It takes on a life of its own, and I'm excited.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said I'm excited. Where this is going, it's got a life of its own.
Yeah, I anticipated it being more up and more like our usual, but more solemn. I don't know. Maybe just heavier.
Maybe just realer, and that's okay.
Realer is good. Yes.
Well,
so
Diane,
thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
We will not
thank
have
you for creating
week,
the
right?
space.
Thomas, next week because it's Father's Day.
Okay. Yeah.
Our next
hang
class
on.
Will be on the
25th.
It's okay. They've all left. They're all leaving anyway. You say goodbye.
Let's stop recording.